the hand of the Lord was upon me. And he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley. It was full of bones. And he led me around among them. And behold, there were a great many scattered across the floor of the valley. And behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And I answered, "Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy over these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound. And behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And as I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come in them, and skin had covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord."
Every 7 years, the national park burns. So people say. Greg Miller told me that, actually. Every 7 years, the national park burns. That's the cycle. All those beautiful vines, if you've been walking through the national park, you would have seen them. All those beautiful vines, the tall gums, the fresh vegetation. Every 7 years, it all lights up. It's engulfed in flames. And at the time that that happens, it's catastrophic. It's a huge blow. It's a huge blow. But out of the charred blackness, and many of us have images of that at the moment in our minds, the charred blackness of hectares of bush with the fires in New South Wales and Queensland. But out of the blackness, every time a sprout emerges, and then another sprout, and another sprout of new life until the whole bush is regenerated again, right? And I realized that God has actually put and woven resurrection into the fabric of his creation. Life is always trying to break free and thrive. The forests are trying to thrive. Our earth is trying to thrive. But death, this unnatural enemy of death, always comes in and tries to smother it, to put it out. But resurrection always wins. Resurrection always wins. Hope always wins. Because that's the way that God made it. God himself is the Lord of resurrection. He is the Lord of life. So when we actually talk about drawing near to the presence of this God, which is what this whole series is about, drawing near to God's presence, what we are saying is that when we come into the nearness of this God, when we come into his proximity, into his radius, as we are this morning, we are actually moving close to the source of resurrection itself, the source of life. That's what we're doing here this morning. And if you actually rub up against this God, his resurrection will rub off on you. Jesus said, I'm the resurrection and the life. If you believe in me, you will live even though you die. He said, God is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. In John chapter 1, it says, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. So rub up against God this morning, and his resurrection will rub off on you. I remember 6 months into my study at Bible college, I was already feeling dry and weary from all the theology and the doctrines that can actually do that to you when you start Bible college. And 6 months in, I went to a chapel service. And this is always hard to kind of explain with words. But I had this experience when we were worshiping and we were singing about the resurrection of Jesus. And I got this just super tangible, real sense that the resurrected presence of Jesus was standing in the aisle I was in. So much so that I couldn't even look to where I felt like his presence was. And do you know what I felt? I felt hope. I felt sustenance and regeneration and rejuvenation come back into my dry and weary bones. That's what I felt. Because God's presence emanates life. It flows out life. Amen? That's who he is. In every sense, God brings resurrection. He brings resurrection from the deadness. Not just physical deadness, not just physical resurrection, which he does do. But if we're talking about this passage that we're in today, of God bringing the prophet Ezekiel, giving him a vision and plonking him straight in the middle of the dry valley of bones, which represented the people of God, Israel. This is about spiritual resurrection, not physical resurrection, spiritual resurrection. And Jesus does that, absolutely. It wasn't spiritual resurrection for the pagan nations. It was spiritual resurrection for God's own people. They were the ones who needed it, which is the ironic thing. And I think you can make a case to say that the church today sometimes seems very similar to the way that Israel was at the time of Ezekiel. Sometimes we seem more dead than we are alive. Sometimes we seem more like a museum or a mausoleum than a life factory, a center of life. And that's not the way that it should be. That's not who God has called us to be. We know that. Yet a lot of us still remain in this place of spiritual deadness, or at least on the way there. What causes spiritual deadness? A few things. Prolonged indifference. If you feel unpassionate and uncaring about your faith or about Christianity or about the church for a lengthened period of time, you're on your way to being spiritually dead. If you think, whether or not I share the gospel with that person or not, really deep down, I don't really care. I don't feel passionate about that whatsoever. Whether or not I come to church, I just, either way, it doesn't matter to me. Whether or not I encounter God in worship, look, I could go either way, really. That sense sustained for a long period of time is the path to spiritual deadness. I saw a movie recently called The Irishman. It's about to come out on Netflix, but I wanted to see it on the big screen, so I went to this independent cinema a few weeks ago and watched it. And there's this scene, I won't give it anything away in case you want to see it, but towards the end of the film, there's this scene where this aged gangster, played by Robert De Niro, he gets wheeled in his wheelchair into a coffin shop. I guess that's what you call it, a coffin shop. And there was a salesman in there, a coffin salesman. And the salesman's like, we've got all these coffins around. Like, there's this one. This is like the Rolls Royce of coffins. And he's like, who's this for anyway? And Robert De Niro's character says, it's for me. And the guy's like, oh. Well, do you see any you like? And he's like, he points at this shiny green one in the corner. And he's like, I'll take that one. But the whole point of that scene is to say that he has resigned himself to die. He's done. He's picking out his coffin. He has checked out, right? And I was thinking about this, and I think a lot of us get so used to feeling spiritually dry, spiritually dead, in this prolonged state of indifference that we've resigned ourselves to the fact that it's always going to be like that. You may only be halfway through your life and you resigned yourself to think that it's only ever going to be like that. So you're picking out your coffin early and you're going, I'm done. Nothing's ever going to change. I'm not going to experience life in my faith, but that's just how it is. And you're checked out. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't pick out your Christian coffin early. No matter what age you are, don't do that. I heard a talk by a lady called Jackie Pullinger, who was a great missionary to China for many years, and she had this great statement. She said, if you waste your life now, you'll feel stupid for eternity. You'll feel stupid for eternity. I'm like, yes, that's probably very true. Prolonged indifference leads to spiritual deadness. So does prolonged hypocrisy. This was the problem with Israel at the time that Ezekiel got this vision. Remember, for a Jew, an open grave didn't just symbolize deadness, but uncleanness, unholiness. It was the most taboo thing for a Jewish person. So God showing Ezekiel this vision, he's saying, this is how I see Israel. They're not just spiritually dead to me, they're unholy. Because of their prolonged hypocrisy, the hiding of their sin constantly, putting on the mask. We just sang, Lacey sang that song for us, I'm tired of hiding. That's what somebody says when they're sick of putting on a mask when they come to church and putting on this happy-go-lucky Christian attitude. Though, deep down, they're hiding a sinful pattern of behavior that's destroying them and bringing them to spiritual deadness. I'm tired of hiding. Prolonged hypocrisy will lead to spiritual deadness, so we've got to break out of that. We have to break out of that. Prolonged indifference, prolonged hypocrisy, prolonged self-preserving. When you try so desperately to preserve your own sense of security, your perfect kingdom that you've set up here on earth, keep your comfortable lifestyle over and above God's calling for your life. That's self-preservation. You do that for long enough, you'd be out of touch with what the gospel's all about, right? And prolonged disconnection. Disconnected from the body of Christ, if we're disconnected from one another for long enough, that will lead to spiritual deadness. That will lead to dryness. We need each other. We need to fellowship with one another, flesh and blood, not just by listening to a podcast, a sermon podcast, or watching a video or something like that, which we have extreme access to now. But that's not good enough. Let's not forget that this service that we're having right now, it's not just a church service that we hold on a particular day of the week on Sunday. That's never what this was meant to be. From the very beginning, the early church held a gathering together on the first day of the week because this was the day that resurrection pierced into our physical realm. This was the day that Jesus Christ was raised to life and everything changed. Real hope and real life was brought into the world. And that's what we're coming together to celebrate, to remember, oh, resurrection. Resurrection is a tangible thing that we can experience. It's already happened in time and history. So if we neglect to meet on this day, there's problems with that because we are forgetting the importance and the central pivotal part that resurrection plays in our faith. Amen? All of these things bring spiritual death. And what this spiritual deadness led to for Israel was a serious lack of hope. They say that in verse 11. They say, we are cut off, we are dry, we are without hope. And that is not the place that any of us want to be in, right? No hope. That's where spiritual deadness will lead to. And that's a really tough place for Ezekiel to have been a prophet in. To actually speak to people who felt like that. They felt that the Lord of the resurrection had abandoned them. He hadn't. They were spiritually dead. They felt like that, but that was difficult for Ezekiel. But God gives Ezekiel a glimpse into what the Lord of the resurrection is still capable of. Because if you're close to this God, no matter how dead or dry you feel, resurrection is bound to happen in some form. It's bound to happen. It's inevitable. It has to be. So God picks Ezekiel up, puts him in the middle of the charred remains of Israel. Deadness. This is how God saw Israel through his spiritual eyes, because God alone is able to check your spiritual pulse and give you an accurate reading, whether it's beating at 80 beats per minute or whether or not you're flatlining. Only God can make that judgment. And he will. He will. So he took Ezekiel on this journey. He led me back and forth among them, Ezekiel says. And I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry because Israel had been dead a long time. He asked me, son of man, can these bones live? This is the Lord of the resurrection speaking. He knows the answer, but he wanted Ezekiel to answer. And Ezekiel's just honest. He's like, alas, sovereign Lord, only you know. I don't know. All I know is that these people are emotionally dead. They're spiritually suffering. They don't care about anything anymore. They've got no ears to hear. They've got no eyes to see your plan for them. That's all I know. And Ezekiel was totally right. What he was staring at was impossibility. In capital letters, the epitome of impossibility, deadness in its most extreme form. But God loves to work with impossibilities. He alone can take an impossibility, turn it into a possibility, and then an actuality. Only God can do that. And he loves to work with the impossibility that deadness brings. So if you're feeling that way this morning, you've come to the right place. This is God's area of expertise. Take courage in that. You might be facing a dead-end situation where there's a wall in front of you. It's insurmountable. You have no way of how you're going to get through, how you're going to get across. You might be facing a dead relationship. Maybe your marriage feels dead. Maybe a connection with your parents feels dead. Your siblings, your children feels dead. dead dreams, dead passion, dead self-esteem, dead sense of your own worth, dead faith. If you draw near to Yahweh, the Lord of life in that, if you rub against him, his resurrection will rub off on you. Because when it comes down to it, I could have really this morning prepared a talk about the theological implications of the resurrection and talked all about that, right? But to be honest, I think many of us who've been at church for a while have been to a lot of Easter Sunday sermons, heard a lot about the doctrine of the resurrection. We've heard so much about that that's coming out of our ears, right? So what we don't need more doctrine about the resurrection. We need a demonstration. We need a demonstration. That needs to be our prayer. We need to say, God, what does your demonstrated power, the power of your resurrection, look like in my life? Right now, what does it look like tangibly? I want to see it in front of me. I want to feel it. I want to know what Paul was talking about when he said, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. What is that? I don't want to be spiritually dead anymore. Show me. That needs to be our prayer. And you know, it's not just about a feeling. Sometimes the power of the resurrection gets passed off as a feeling, like a nice feeling inside that you get from attending a church service or something. But if it's just a feeling, feelings don't last. The feeling will be gone by Monday, and then it'll be shown for what it was. The resurrection power of God is not a feeling, it's an event. It's a tangible event that happens. When God breathes, births stars into being, which he does all the time, that's the resurrection power of God demonstrated. It's an event in time and space. When God grows forests back to life, that's his resurrection power demonstrated. When a person's life is transformed and it's such a mark on their spiritual history that they never forget it, that is God's resurrection power demonstrated. It's an event. It's not just a feeling. When somebody's physically healed in our midst, that is an event. It takes place. We just need to up our level of faith in understanding that that's actually what it is. It's not just a feeling in the abstract sense. You follow? That's what we need to realize. That's what we need to be praying for. But God doesn't just command Ezekiel to pray for the bones. He commands him to do what? To prophesy. He says to Ezekiel, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. I've seen dead human bones before, the killing fields of Cambodia and Rwanda, hundreds of them. And if you've seen dead human bones before, you know there's nothing there but eerie silence and the shadow of a life that had come before. But Ezekiel is given the task of commanding those bones to hear, though they have no ears, and to get up and live, though they have no life. It's an impossible situation. And what Ezekiel's doing here in terms of prophecy is he is speaking the truth of God's word into a dead situation. The truth of God's word into a dead situation. And that is what each one of us have been called to do as well. If that's what prophecy is here, speaking God's word, the truth of God's word into a dead situation, then yeah, we're all meant to be doing that. We're all meant to take part in that mandate as the church. One of the reasons I know that is like passages at the end of John's gospel in John chapter 20. Jesus gathers his disciples around him and he says, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. A lot of scholars think that this is a direct allusion to Ezekiel, as God breathes his breath into dry bones, Jesus breathes into his disciples. And he says, as the Father sent me, Jesus' mission, his earthly ministry was all about demonstrating the power of the resurrection into people's lives, speaking the truth of God's word into dead situations, right? That's what he did. And he says, as the Father sent me on that mission, so I am sending you. So go, take my breath, take the Holy Spirit. He will empower you and you will demonstrate it. But you might be thinking, I feel spiritually dead. I'm dry. How am I going to speak life into other people, other people's deadness? How can a pile of dry bones speak life into other piles of dry bones? And the answer is you can't. But notice that God didn't just say to Ezekiel, Ezekiel, see these dry bones in front of you? I just want you to speak whatever you feel. I just want you to just speak words of positive affirmation over the bones. Just whatever you're feeling inside right now, Ezekiel, just speak that over them. That's not what God said. God said, speak my word. Hear the word of the Lord. Speak my word to the dry bones, because only God's word can bring life, right? Only God's word can do that. Sometimes, you know, if you preach a good message, any of the pastors here at CBC, sometimes you get the encouragement of, well, you really brought that scripture to life this morning. You might say that to Lindsay, right? After the service, you brought that passage to life. I could picture the bones and everything. But that's the wrong way to think about it. Nobody brings scripture to life. Scripture brings me to life. Scripture was bringing Lindsay to life as he was speaking it out. It was literally bringing him to life. It's bringing us to life right now. We're the dead ones. This is the living and active word of God, the tool of the Lord of the resurrection. And when we receive this life, it actually feels like what happened in the vision that Ezekiel got. That layers of life are being put back onto your dry and dead spirituality. Layers of life. Like the tendons wrapping on the bones. Tendons symbolizing strength being brought back into your faith. Movement. And the flesh representing the substance and passion back into your faith. And you're feeling this happen and it's incredible and you're like, oh, wow, I've got strength back. I can sense that God is near, that he's got a purpose for my life. And the passion is back. I feel excited about being a Christian again. That hasn't happened to me for years. And then the skin, protection, perseverance, long obedience in the same direction is put back on you. So that those circumstances might shift in your life, that the forces of death might come to take layers of life off you. You can persevere because you are so close to the source of resurrection. He is continually drip feeding hope into your veins. That's what he does. And the miracle of all of this is we have been called to take part in this process of resurrection. God uses us, sometimes very dry people, to speak his words of life onto others. We can do that for each other. That's a miracle, that God would even choose to use us. That's what Ezekiel does. He just prophesied as he was commanded. And he says, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound. Can you imagine that? You know what that noise is? That's God's resurrection power being demonstrated. That's the event. That's something happening. That's what happens when the Lord of the resurrection draws near. Something happens. People turn around and go, what was that? People go, did that really happen? Something happens when God draws close to us. And that's incredible. There's nothing better than seeing the look in somebody's eyes when something they thought was impossible is becoming possible. They hoped it would be possible, but when it actually happens, man, that is the look of a commotion happening because of God's resurrection power invading our lives. And then Ezekiel says, and the bones came together, bone to bone. They all joined with one another, the hip bone connected to the ankle bone. That's not how it works, but you know what I mean. What's happening there is that what was previously disconnected is put back together. What was incomplete is made whole. The way that we were actually designed to be from the beginning, whole beings, that's what happens when God's resurrection power invades our midst. We're put back together again. You know that feeling? I feel it all the time with something just off. Something just not working out the way that you hoped it would work out. That sin is still attacking you. You're just not functioning in full stride. That's because that's the reality of living in a fallen world and the forces of sin and the enemy. But God's resurrection power fixes that, brings us into completion so that we can actually run in full stride. And that's what Ezekiel's seeing. The bones come together. What was disconnected is connected. And then he says, I looked and tendons and flesh appeared on them and skin covered them. But there was no breath in them. They got layers of life. A noise has happened. There's been a commotion. They've been connected again. But something's missing. Something's just missing. What is it? The Ruah, the breath of God, the Pneuma, the Spirit of the living God, breathed intimately into them. That's what he wants to do to us in a very spiritual but real sense. Breathe life back into us, just like he breathed physical life into Adam at the beginning and awoke him from his slumber in the dust. He wants to awaken us from our slumber. He doesn't want us just standing there like zombies, asleep. That's the church is no use to him if that's what we're like. He wants to breathe his breath into us again. Revive us, resurrect us, so that we can do his bidding in the world. And God loves to do that, to breathe resurrection back into your sails. Breath back into your lungs. And so Ezekiel says, I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. And if this isn't a message for the church today, I don't know what is. This is who we're meant to be. This is the picture of who the church is meant to be, who you and I, who make up the body of Christ, are meant to be. An army of life. It was the exact vision that William Booth had at the beginning of the Salvation Army. He saw the reality of death around him in a very vivid sense on the streets of London. And he knew, no, the church is meant to be an army that doesn't bring death but brings life. We're meant to stand up with the breath of the Holy Spirit in us and do the bidding of our Lord, to stand up for justice and to seek the salvation of everyone's souls, the Salvation Army. That was the vision. And it's totally true. That's who we're meant to be. Not a pile of bones, not a boneyard, not a museum, not a mausoleum. We are an army of life. And as soon as we leave this place this morning, we're meant to spread out. Spread out into our community, into every person we meet, because we are intimately close to the source of resurrection himself. And all these spiritual resurrections that we experience in this life, which hopefully you can experience even today, this morning, hopefully you feel the reality of God's presence right now, so close to you, wanting to breathe life back into your weary soul. All of these spiritual resurrections that we experience are just foretastes of the physical resurrection that's coming, right? Because one day, all people, everybody who has ever lived, everyone you can think of, even people who've sunken down to the bottom of the ocean, all the people on the Titanic, every young man and woman who's lost their lives on the Navy battles throughout the world wars, they're all going to hear the voice of Jesus, the Lord of resurrection, one day, and they're going to rise up from the depths. That's actually going to happen. Can you imagine that? Every king and emperor and president who's ever lived, Lincoln and Henry VIII, one day they're going to hear the voice of Jesus and rise up from their grave. All your lost loved ones, generations and generations that we're not even able to count, will rise up. Abraham and Moses and all the figures of the Old Testament will rise up when they hear the voice of Jesus. That's going to happen. And then we're all going to stand together, physically resurrected, before the Lord of Resurrection himself on Judgment Day. And we're going to have to give an account for our life, right? The deeds done in the body. And you know what the judgment will be based on? It will be based on this. Were you spiritually dead as you walked this earth? Or were you spiritually alive? Were you dead bones? Even though you might have heard the gospel, were you dead bones deep down? Or were you breath-filled? And remember, only Jesus is able to feel our spiritual pulse and make an accurate observation of that fact. So we have to sense the urgency. We're all going to be there. Are you spiritually dead this morning? Or are you on your way there? Are you spiritually dry? Are you filled with the breath of God? Remember, his resurrection presence is here, and it is freely accessible right now. He can breathe new life into your being. I want that. Do you want that? We should always want that, be desiring after. We shouldn't be filled with indifference or hypocrisy. That's not who we are. We are the people who have had layers of life put back on us, who have had the breath of the Holy Spirit breathed into us, and we feel it. We've experienced the power of the resurrection demonstrated as an event in our midst, in our life. Things have changed around us. We've been changed on the inside. Something's ticked over from death to life. And now we're an army of life. That's freely accessible right now. Praise Jesus for that. Because we'd all be in trouble if that wasn't the case. But it is the case. And like I said, one of the miracles about this is that we get to play a part in this together by speaking the truth of God's word into the dead situations of our lives. So we're going to do that now. There's going to be some scriptures up on the screen, put in the form of a prayer. And if you feel comfortable to do this with the people around you, it can be very vulnerable, but just with the people around you, I want you to just have a go at speaking these words of scripture, if we can get them up on the screen, these prayers over the people around us, to just pray, brother, sister, this is eternal life, that you may know the one and only God and Jesus Christ who he sent. You never know what these words of life will mean to the person you're speaking it to. We can flow God's word out to each other. This is what it means to be an army of life, right? If you don't feel comfortable to do this, you can just meditate on these words and ask that the Lord of the resurrection would breathe new life back into your dry bones. But I want to encourage you, just with the people around you, speak these out. Layers of life back onto each other. God will use this. He will. Because it's not about us. It's about God flowing through us and us using his word. Amen? I'll pray and then we'll do that with each other. Jesus, it's incredible to think that all life's origin comes from you, that you have woven life and the process of resurrection into everything. But Lord, your primary focus is that your own people are resurrected, that your own people don't remain dry and don't remain dead, but that we come to life. Thank you, Jesus, that your presence is so powerful, that your presence brings real life. Lord, demonstrate it, Lord, we pray. Demonstrate it as we speak these words of life over each other. And Lord, may you guide the way in these moments. In Jesus' name, amen.